Welcome back to our study of Numbers. We are in chapter 22, and let's take a look at verse 2 together. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites.
The Moabites, because, I mean, if you look at the Israelites, they've already defeated Sihon, who had defeated Moab and taken territory. Then they defeated Og, king of Bashan. And so they think, you know, they've totally defeated these two kings and taken their territory. So now Moab's apprehensive that they may come in and try to take their territory, which wasn't their intent at all. But he becomes very afraid of the Israelites.
And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at this time.
So Balak, who's the king of Moab, sends messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, who lived at Pethor. And that was Balaam's native land, okay? And he told him what to say to Balaam. Look, a people has come from Egypt. They're so numerous that they cover the whole land, and they're dwelling across from me. Come immediately and curse these people for me, because they're too numerous for me. He said, I can't defeat them. Perhaps we'll be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. I know that whom you bless are blessed, and whom you curse, they're cursed. And so Balak says, as it is, I can't defeat them. But if you'll come and put a curse on them, you curse them, then maybe I can defeat them then. And Balaam evidently has a reputation that who he blesses is blessed, and who he curses is cursed. So, you know, words are powerful, and people don't understand that.
And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam and spoke unto him the words of Balak.
So they're going to pay Balaam to curse Israel. Now, I want you to think about this, because today people are so frivolous with words, not understanding the power of words. This king understands the power of words so much that he's willing to pay a man to say words over a nation. You understand that a blessing is words. A curse is words. But he also understands that if you believe in those words come to pass. So he's willing to pay Balaam to curse Israel.
And he said unto them, Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam.
And so Balaam, you'll learn, is a guy with his eyes on money. And so he invites these elders to spend the night with him. And he assures them that he'll tell them what the Lord has said to him. The elders accepted his invitation. And so they spend the night. And he goes to hear from the Lord.
And God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out.
This is interesting, the way this is laid out. It says, God came to Balaam that night and asked, who is this staying with you? It's not like God doesn't know you're with me. But he's trying to get, I believe, Balaam's attention. And Balaam says, well, this is men from Balak, the son of Zippor. And he sent them. He wants me to come and curse this multitude of people who've come up from Egypt. so that the Moabites will be able to defeat these people and drive them out of their land. And so that's his conversation with God, okay? And God told him, you don't go with them. And you don't curse these people. They're blessed. Okay?
Yeah.
How far did you get?
I got to verse 11.
Okay.
I'll read verse 12. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Verse 13. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you in your land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you.
So Balaam is obeying God, okay? And so he gets up the next morning and he tells these elders, go ahead and return to your land. The Lord has instructed me not to go with you. And so the elders leave, they return to Moab, and then they tell Balak what Balaam has said, that he's refused to come to them.
Yes. Verse 15. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus said Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor. I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people.
So Balak, he sends more officials to Balaam, and these are higher ranking officials. You know, they're more distinguished than the first one. And so when they come to Balaam, they tell him, Balak the son of Zippor said, not to let anything stop you from coming to him. He said, I'll greatly honor you. I'll do whatever you say. You come and curse these people for me. In other words, I'm willing to pay the price. You're trying to put pressure on Balaam, okay?
And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more.
Now, all this sounds real honorable with Balaam. You know, well, you know, if Balak could give me his house full of silver and gold, I can't go beyond what the Lord will allow. You know, all this is good and well, okay? But he's still enticed with money.
Now therefore, I pray you, tarry you also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more.
Now, so Balaam invites these officials to spend the night with him, and he says, let me see what else the Lord has to say. Like the Lord don't change his mind. Okay?
And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do.
The way the King James has that worded, you miss what's actually being said. It's not call. He's saying that if these men force you to go, you go with them. Not if they invite you to go or if they call, hey, you want to go. In other words, if they put the force on you to go, all right, go ahead and go with them. But you only say what I say.
And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab.
So note this, Balaam that morning, he gets up and he saddles his donkey and went with the officials of Moab. They did not force him to go. You understand what God said? If they force you to go, go with them. No, he volunteered to go. Now, you can read about this in Jude, the era of Balaam. And you read about it, and it will tell you that it was greed. He was after the money. And so he allowed the money to cause him to violate what God had told him. Okay? And some people think that God changed his mind and told Balaam that it was permissible to go with these officials. But that mindset doesn't agree, first off, with the integrity of God or the ways of God. And then here again, look at the wording. They did not force him to go. He volunteered to go. And so now he's in violation. The definition of this Hebrew word suggests that the word could actually mean accosting one. Okay? And it appears to me that these officials, if they were to compel him to go with them, then he'd be allowed to go. But if they did not compel him to go, then he was not to go with them. So, from the way it looks, he went of his own volition. And so God became angry with him. And we'll see this later, how God's not fickle. God's established in his way. God says what he means. God means what he says. If he said don't go, that's what he meant. Don't go. Now, this is not just for Balaam. This is for us too, you understand?
And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him.
Now think about this. God becomes angry with Balaam because he goes with these Moabite officials. Now why would God become angry if God said, all right, go ahead?
Right.
Okay. And then it says an angel of the Lord stood to oppose him. Would God oppose what he told you to do? No. Balaam violated God. And so he's riding on his donkey and he has two servants that are accompanying him to go to Balak.
Verse 23. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way.
So the donkey smarter than the prophet. The donkey sees the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a sword drawn. Yeah, he's not wanting that sword, you understand? So he turns and he goes out into a field, and Balaam just takes and strikes that donkey and turns it back on the road.
But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, and a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again.
So the angel of the Lord blocks her way a little farther down and standing in this narrow path where the vineyards are, and there's a wall on both sides, and when the donkey sees the angel of the Lord again, and he moved close to one of the walls. When it did, it pinned Balaam's foot against the wall, so he hits the donkey again.
Poor donkey. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to either turn to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with the staff.
So the angel goes further down the road, positions himself in a very narrow place so that he can't be avoided now. And so the donkey sees the angel of the Lord, and he just bowed to the ground. Balaam became so angry, he hit the donkey with a stick.
Poor donkey. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay.
This is incredible. Any of you guys ever had a donkey talking to you or any other animal? No, this is absolutely incredible to me. And so the Lord opens the mouth of the donkey, and the donkey says, what have I done to cause you to hit me these three times? Well, I believe I'd get my attention. You know, But Balaam is so upset that he says, you mock me. And he said, if I had a sword in my hand, I'd kill you. Now listen to this. I would kill the one trying to save me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's basically what he's saying. And then the donkey said, am I not your donkey? You've ridden me from the time you got me until today. Have I ever acted this way before? And Balaam says, no. And that's pretty interesting conversation.
That poor donkey.
I might have talked to one, but I've never heard one talk back. You know?
Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face.
So the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. When Balaam sees this angel standing in the way with a sword in his hand, he bows down to the ground as well.
Yeah. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thy ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive.
This angel asked Balaam, why did you hit that donkey? You've hit him three times. I stood in the way to oppose you because you acted hastily. Your donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If that donkey had not turned away, I would have already killed you. But I wouldn't have killed the donkey. Amazing, isn't it?
You know, you think about the fact that people who are blinded to the things of God spiritually will oppose instruction or oppose someone trying to save them from their own hurt. We see it all the time, and what's so sad is we can see it in the people closest to us that we love that are just blinded to the things of the Lord.
You look at how people are bucking against authority today. Kids against authority of the parents.
Yeah.
You know, the people against any civil authorities or whatever, they don't honor the ones, and yet they're trying to protect them. You know, I think about my kids growing up. They, you know, they may want to do something, especially one of them. You know, everybody's doing it. I say, everybody's not. You're not, and I'm not. What are you doing? You're protecting them.
Right. Yeah.
But they don't view that as a protection.
Mm-mm.
You understand? They just want what they want.
Right.
And that's, and you know, when you get to be adults, people still want what they want, not understanding that there are people trying to protect them. The Spirit of the Lord will speak to your heart to protect you. He may speak through some minister's heart with a message to try to protect you. But it's amazing how people will oppose the very thing that's trying to protect them, because they still want what they want.
Verse 34. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I know not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again.
Well, this interests me too. I've sinned. Well, that was obvious. I didn't know you were standing in the way opposing me. If what I'm doing is evil in your sight, I'll return home. What do you mean, if?
Yeah.
Obviously, he's not approving of it, right?
Mm-hmm. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak.
Now, instead of saying, all right, go back home, he says, no, all right, you started this. I'm going to let you finish it. But it's not going to turn out like you want it to. So he says, you continue on your journey, but you say only. what you're told to say. And so Balaam leaves with these officials to go to Balak, king of Moab.
And when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto a city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is in the utmost coast.
So when Balaam gets there, he goes out to meet him, and he in a city of the Moabites that's located near the Arnon River, which was an extreme boundary of the Moabites, because he's wanting him to see this crowd of people that's come against him. He thinks has come against him.
Verse 37, and Balak said unto Balaam, did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor?
Now look at this. Why didn't you come the first time I got sent for you? Don't you know I can well compensate you? Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. Too many people are in it for the money.
Yeah. And Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word of God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak.
So Balaam just says, well, I'm here now, but I can only say what the Lord says to me.
And Balaam went to Balak, and they came unto Kirjath Hazzoth. And Balak offered oxen and sheep and sent to Balaam, and to the princes that were with him.
So Balaam went with Balak to Kiriath-Huzzath, and there he offered cattle and sheep as a sacrifice. Balak is doing this. And he gave some of the meat to Balaam and the officials who's with him. In other words, they're sacrificing this and having a meal, okay?
And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up unto the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the uttermost part of the people.
Now let me point this out to you, that when we say that Balak, the king of Moab, is offering sacrifice, you have to understand that the god of Moab was not Jehovah God. The god of Moab was Chemosh. Okay.
Now chapter 23 tells of Balak's altars and sacrifices, Balaam's words concerning the Israelites, and Balak's response to his words.
So the next morning, Balak takes Balaam to Bamoth Baal, so he could see the entire encampment of Israelites. I want you to see this multitude of people here.
And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams.
So, Balaam says, all right, build me 7 altars and prepare 7 oxen and 7 rams. We're going to offer sacrifices on the altar. Okay?
Mm-hmm. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram.
So he does, Balak does what Balaam requested, and 1 young bull and a ram on each of the 7 altars, okay?
And Balaam said unto Balak, stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure the Lord will come to meet me, and whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And he went to a high place.
So Balaam says, you stand here by your burnt offering, and I'm going to go meet with the Lord. And whatever he says to me, then I'll come back and I'll tell you what he says. And he goes to a desolate peak. In other words, he gets away from all them and goes out by himself, okay?
And God met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars, and I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak.
So Balaam tells the Lord what he's done. He's offered these sacrifices, built these altars, and the Lord told him what he wanted him to say to Balak.
And he returned unto him And lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab.
Let me say this. It's not like Balaam's having a face-to-face conversation with the Lord. This is not like Moses talking to the Lord. We'll find that out as we go along. And so Balaam returns to Balak and his officials who are still standing there by the burnt offerings.
And he took up his parable and said, Balak the king of Moab hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, Come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like this.
So Balak, he goes back, and he says this. This is what the Lord has told him to say. Balak brought me from Aram, which is in the mountain of the east, to curse Jacob, to insult Israel. How shall I curse those whom the Lord has not cursed, and how shall I insult those whom the Lord has not insulted? And how shall, and from the top of the cliff I see him, talking about Israel, from the peak I've observed him. These people shall live, note this, and remain separate among the nations. They're going to be a nation of themselves. Who can count the descendants of Jacob? They're as numerous as the dust. Who can count a number of fourth part of his descendants? Let me die as the just, and let my life end as Israel. Now I want you to see what God's doing here. Balaam should not have gone. But because he chose to disobey God, God is embarrassing him and making things not good for him, but as we would say, he's egg in the face, okay? Instead of cursing, he's actually blessing. He's doing the opposite of what Balak is wanting him to do.
That's good. And Balak said unto Balaam, What hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies. And behold, thou hast blessed them altogether.
Now, I got a feeling he put some expression to that. What have you done?
Yeah.
I brought you here to curse them, and you blessed them.
Yeah.
Not making Balak happy, you understand?
Mm-mm. And he answered and said, Must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth?
Now, this is honorable. Balaam is smart enough not to go against God, okay? And he says, I told you that I could only say what the Lord gave me to say.
And Balak said unto him, Come, I pray thee, with me unto another place, from whence thou mayest see them. Thou shalt see but the uttermost part of them, and shalt not see them all, and curse me them from thence.
Now, let's show you just how foolish people are. So Balak says to Balaam, let's go to another place. And let's just look at the outer edge of the camp. You know, God's not going to let you bless, curse the whole camp, but maybe God will let you curse part of the camp. That's his mindset.
But you think about people do that today. You don't get the answer you want from the Lord. Well, let's go over here. Lord, what about here?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 14. And he brought him into the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built seven altars, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar.
So he does the same thing, goes through the same procedure, building the seven altars, and offering the ram, the bull on each of these seven altars.
And he said unto Balak, Stand here by thy burnt offering while I meet the Lord yonder.
You stand here, I'm going to go meet the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, Go again unto Balak and say thus.
Now here again, it's not a face-to-face deal. I'm going to show you that as we get further along. The Lord told him what he wanted to say to Balak, okay?
And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what hath the Lord spoken?
So he goes back, and there's Balak and his officials standing by the altar, as he had told them to, and he tells them what the Lord says.
And he took up his parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion, and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lay down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain.
So, God is talking to this heathen king, Balak. And Balaam is the medium that he's speaking to, okay? So he says, rise up, Balak, and listen. Pay attention, son of Zippor. God's not a man. He does not lie. Have you ever heard that scripture? Well, that's the context of it. Neither is he the son of man, therefore he does not repent. In other words, God meant what he said the first time. When God says something, he will do it, and when he speaks, he will bring it to pass. I've been instructed to bless. I cannot reverse God's blessing. He does not observe sin in Jacob. Note it said he didn't observe sin in Jacob. And neither does he find mischief in Israel. Now, he's saying this to people who had murmured and complained against God. He just said, I'm not observing that. Okay? And so he says, God's with them. And the shout of a king's in their midst. God brought them out of Egypt with the speed like a wild bull. There are no spells against Jacob. No divination against Israel. In time it will be said, look what God has done for Jacob and Israel. These people shall arise as a fierce lion who does not rest until he eats the flesh and drinks the blood of his prey. Blessing them. And he's calling Balak by name in doing it. Do you understand?
And Balak said unto Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all.
Now he said, look, don't bless them, don't curse them. No, I mean, if you can't curse them, for goodness sake, don't bless them, you know.
And Balaam answered and said unto Balak, told not I thee, saying, all that the Lord speaketh, that I must do.
So what's Balaam saying? I told you, didn't I tell you that I could only say what the Lord says?
And Balak said unto Balaam, come, I pray thee, I will bring thee unto another place, peradventure. It will please God that thou mayest curse me them from thence.
You think Balak could catch on? Mm-mm. Hey, let's go to another place. Let's see if you'll curse them over here, you know.
Yeah. And Balak brought Balaam unto the top of Peor that looketh toward Jessamyn.
So he takes him up to the top, and this is looking out over the wasteland, okay?
And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars and prepare me here 7 bullocks and 7 rams.
Going through the same procedure, building the 7 altars, offering the sacrifices.
And Balak did as Balaam said and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar.
So he does what Balaam tells him to do, okay?
That's something, isn't it?
Some people are slow learners. I'll tell you what, since our time is almost up, we're right here at the end of the 23rd chapter. We'll wait till our next session to pick up with the 24th chapter. You sort of got the picture, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because there's a lot to say in this area right here.
Okay. Very good.